Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He has. He has. We've arrived. This is Easter Sunday. This is the day. In order to get to this day of celebration, we had to travel through Holy Week, a most holy week. We had Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples and Judas the betrayer. The anxious prayers of the abandonment in the Garden of Gethsemane. His silence before Pilate as he faces accusers in trial. And last, Good Friday, right? The immensely painful crucifixion on a Roman cross. But today we celebrate because death could not hold him. The Apostle Paul would paraphrase the Old Testament prophet Hosea and say this. He would say, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so on this Easter Sunday, we are deeply, deeply thankful for the gift of God, the resurrected Jesus Christ. A strong theme of Easter has always been hopefulness. Hopefulness. And Jesus and his followers, the last week of Jesus' life, did not experience hopefulness. They experienced fear and sadness and pain and suffering. And Jesus endured all those hardships of that week. He didn't turn away from the sufferings that awaited him. Just day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, getting through that week. And yet, we know that many of his disciples freaked out, right? They panicked. Some of them even went into hiding, trying to get away, right? What if what happens to Jesus will happen to us? Now, say what you want, but we've all experienced moments like that, haven't we? Where we've kind of felt that panic and that freak out. You know, every time I stand up to preach, I have this moment between the pew and the pulpit where I think, you could just go out that door. You could just go. They'd have to come find you, you know? You're gonna be home by then, right? Who of us maybe hasn't had a meeting? We were really anxious about the meeting, and so we backed out of the meeting. We canceled the meeting. Who of us maybe hadn't had a doctor's appointment? We knew that it was going to be bad news. Canceled the doctor's appointment. Or maybe there's some of you in here, you need to schedule a doctor's appointment. And you've been putting it off because you're afraid of what you might hear when you go. Or maybe there's somebody here and at work you were up for promotion, but you were afraid that maybe you couldn't live into people's expectations if you took that promotion, so you didn't take it. Fear, anxiousness, sadness, it's all a part of our individual lives and sometimes our community lives, which is why we need to be a part of a community that helps us get through it and then above it. Through it and above it. That's what you want, right? Isn't it? Don't you want to get through it and then get above it? And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the first Easter community. The very first one. The people who walked with Jesus, been in, at the end of his life, they lost all hope before the resurrection. Fear took over. Doubt slipped in. Death had claimed victory, but Jesus wasn't done. He wasn't done with his community, and he's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with us. And so his Easter community of disciples becomes the strength, and they become the courage of a great church. 2,000 years later, here we are, celebrating Easter. And so this morning, our Easter community, we're going to learn three important things from Jesus' Easter community, that very first Easter community. And the first thing is this. The Easter community benefits from a divine encounter with God to give us faith and hope and courage. We benefit from these things. According to the Gospel of Luke, the women who loved Jesus the most, they were the first ones to his tomb when the time was appropriate. And they went with these ointment that had spices in them. This is ointment, kind of spice deal. And that's what they used to prepare his body after 3 days, right? And so back then, it was more of this external embalming process as opposed to this internal embalming process that we have today. And so when the lady disciples arrived, they found the tomb, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and Jesus' body was gone. And then the divine encounter. Two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And they said to the ladies, "He is not here. He is risen. He is risen." Well, if glowing men said it, I'd believe it. Right? I don't know about you, but I'd believe it. And they believed it, right? These divine encounters, they're just like that, aren't they? When something miraculous happens in our lives, we tend to believe it, the message that was conveyed during that moment. The women did. They believed it, and they needed it, and they benefited from it. We all benefit from the voice of God that speaks into our lives. And sometimes it's something miraculous. Sometimes it's this vision that you might have. You know, I was with some folks this week. They talked about a vision that they had for their faith. For other people, it's an audible voice. And it doesn't happen all the time, but just a couple times in life, there's this audible voice from God. I've heard those stories too. But sometimes it's not quite so loud, right? Sometimes it's just a strong feeling that comes over us. And we know we've heard from God. It's the quiet, whispering voice. It's a sunset. And as you watch the sunset, you feel God is conveying a message to you in that sunset, right? Now, I know that personally, I can recall kind of a handful of these divine encounters in my life that I've experienced, just kind of in the mild way, not the major way, right? Once I was on a mountain in Colorado overlooking the night sky, and I felt this voice of God in me and over me and speaking to me. Another time, it was on a mission trip, and I was having a conversation with this older gentleman. We were on a roof, and we were putting roofing on. And in our conversation, I just sensed God giving me some direction that I needed at that point in my life. Another time in a sanctuary, I actually got to revisit the sanctuary. We had a funeral for a family member, took me back to St. Joseph Presbyterian Church. I spent some time in, got to sit in that very sanctuary where I remember God just kind of speaking something into me, redirecting my path in life. And so each of these times, the quiet voice of God directing my path, building my faith, building me in hope, building me in courage for the strengthening of his church, his Easter community. Which is why I can also tell you there have been times in my life where I didn't want a divine encounter. I didn't want a divine voice in my life. I wasn't looking for it. I definitely was not in a place where I wanted to obey what he said. I wasn't sure I would like what he had to say. I wasn't sure he would like what I had to say. Which is why, having been on both sides of the road, I think I can ask all of you today, do you really want it? Do you really want it? Are you ready for God to speak into your life and tell you how you can best serve his Easter community? Because the voice of God always speaks to draw people together to love and to serve their community, one another. You see, the shiny men at the tomb, they didn't appear just for shock and awe sake, just like, wow, look what God can do. Wasn't that cool? They showed up so that those women disciples would be filled with faith and hope and courage, and then they would go instill that within the men disciples that they might come together to be the first Easter community. Our Easter community, we still need divine encounters from God and in whatever way they come. But are you hungry for them? Are you hungry? Are you ready for it? Do you want those words? Because the Easter community, I think, is full of them. Like, since I've been here, I've heard stories here and in other churches I've been in my own life. You know, and in the words of Jesus, here's what Jesus would say. He says, you know, do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? Because if you do, the voice of God is out there. Now, that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. The second thing the Easter community needs is to immerse ourselves in the words of Jesus that we might know him, that we might really know him. And I'm just going to let that be, just that we might know him, for no other purpose than that we would truly know him. You see, before Jesus died, before he was resurrected, his disciples, they knew him, but did they know him that well? Because he had been telling them exactly what was going to happen in the end, like he's been trying to warn them. But nobody believed him, or nobody wanted to believe him, because they didn't yet deeply know him and what he desired to do. You see, the gleaming men, or the angels, they said to the women disciples, here's what was said in our scripture passage. The angel said, Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Like, even where? Remember Galilee? Remember when you were in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. He did say that, didn't he? Friends, not even metaphorical. It's not like he told a parable and it was really hard to understand. It's like, oh, man, oh, that's what the parable meant. No, it wasn't a parable. Jesus said, I will be captured. I will be crucified and then be raised again. This is what is to happen. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, we go back chapters, right? He tells the Apostle Peter the same thing, not once, but twice. I'm going to be killed, and then 3 days later, I'm going to come again. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew tells the same story as Luke, but there's a little bit more. In the Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus is telling everybody, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to come again. Peter pulls him aside. Jesus, nobody wants to hear this. Don't talk like this. Like you're gonna scare people. Like, he rebukes Jesus for saying those things. It is not what Peter wanted to hear. It wasn't what he wanted to happen to his Messiah. Like, he had plans for the Messiah, great plans, not death, especially because of the Romans, right? He has different plans for Jesus because he didn't yet know who Jesus really was, to know his true intent. Do you really know who Jesus is? Do you really know who Jesus is? And I'm not questioning your salvation right now. Like, I'm not saying, hey, there are some of you that don't know Jesus the same way I know Jesus, and so, you know, you should really question your salvation, get right with God. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is, are you a student of Jesus' words? Are you a student of the teacher? Because his words are life. His words are freedom and peace and joy. Which is why our Easter community, we need to immerse ourselves in the words of Jesus. In our Sunday school classes, in our small groups, in our kids' ministry, in our worship, in our songs, in our conversations together. Because I want to know Jesus and his resurrection power in my life. That's what I hunger for. That's what I thirst for. Because sometimes it's possible to miss it, to miss those words, to really, you know, you like Jesus, really like who Jesus is, but to not know him, to not know him. Easter community, to know Jesus is to be changed by him. It's to be changed by him. You know, he does it. And I don't need to put parameters on it. Like, I don't need to say what that change should look like in your life, because it's not my work in you. It's his work in you. It's his work within you. The Jesus I know now is so much different than the Jesus I knew 30 years ago that called me into ministry. Like, him and I have come a long way. I know that I've changed a lot because of him, because of a commitment to his words, to know him. You know, I try to read his words daily. Like, that's how much I believe in it, that I want to be in those words daily. And I've learned to kind of swim in many Easter community streams. Right? This is an Easter community. We've got Easter community across the street. We've got, you know, we've got Methodist Easter communities and Presbyterian and Catholic Easter communities. And I've learned to kind of get in some of these different streams to find deeper waters that I might have greater depths of knowing him and his words in my life, that they might be power for my life. Do you desire to know what his words mean? Because they are true life. And in his words, and as we'll find out at the table, they're not just true life, they're true bread, they're true drink. So that's the second thing I want us to take from their Easter community. Last thing, third thing, the Easter community we need action and movement in order to overcome, at times, our sadness and our hopelessness. Don't we? Because, friends, have you ever experienced it? Sometimes those things, the sadness and the hopelessness and the fear and the anxiety, like, it causes us to be paralyzed. It causes us in life to freeze up. And we've got to keep moving forward. The women disciples, they didn't go to the tomb because they were expecting the resurrected Jesus to be there. They went to the tomb to pay the deceased Jesus, the dead Jesus, respect, and to further preserve his corpse. That's why they went back there. They had to do something besides sitting, right, in their grief and their fear. They had to act. They had to move. When they went back to the other disciples, right, they had this divine encounter because they move, because there's forward action, even in their grief and their sadness and their loss, they run into this angel, they have this divine encounter. And so they go back, they tell Peter what has happened. Peter, you're never going to believe this. Guess what we saw? Peter didn't understand anything they were saying, right? It sounded like foolishness to him, but he couldn't just stay there. He had to get up, he had to go, he had to see for himself. He got up and he ran to the tomb. He had to act. He had to put himself in motion. The Easter community was about action and movement and forward movement. Even when they didn't have all the answers, even when they were hurting and they were scared, but they knew in their lives they didn't want to be stuck in that place, stuck in those things. And so Peter ran to the tomb. He didn't walk, he ran to the tomb, even though he didn't understand. And he stared into the empty tomb, and then he still didn't understand. Right? It didn't give him any greater clarity. Like, he's still confused as he looks into the tomb. So we didn't read this part. He goes back to the other disciples, right? And he would have a divine encounter with the risen Jesus Christ, who would meet him on a road and fill him with hope. And then he would understand. He would understand. He would know Christ and his kingdom desires more intimately within his life and within his knowledge of Christ. This would change Peter and make Peter a great leader within the church, is what it would do. Here's another way I like to look at it. Here's a saying that might help you with this. You have to show up to grow up. You have to show up to grow up. To grow up in your faith, to grow up in love of others. If you want to be encouraged, to come into a place where you can receive that encouragement, to get that help. And so the Easter community, we just keep showing up to grow up, is what we keep doing. And that takes movement, it takes action, it takes time that can be spent doing, you know, much more fun things at different times. Right? We keep showing up for worship. We keep showing up for Christian relationships. We keep showing up for Bible studies. We show up for friends that need us. Right, we show up within their lives and help them in times when they need that help. You have to show up to grow up in your ability to overcome fear and sadness in life, don't you? Because once again, we can get stuck. And so sometimes it's just that movement of showing up in life that helps you grow up and move past some hard things that you're experiencing. The Easter community is about action and forward movement to both make their lives better, but then to make the lives of their communities better, the lives of people in the world, making the world a better place. So for those of you who made it for Easter worship today, for those of you who are watching online, maybe you didn't feel safe enough being here, you're out of town, something like that, but here you are, you're with us online. Congratulations, you made some forward action today. You took some progressing steps. You're a part of this Easter community. We're an Easter community here together today. And friends, if the last 2 years have taught me anything, it's that we all need an Easter community. We all need a place and we need a people to be a part of to hopefully overcome fear and sadness and hopeless that we can sometimes experience in life that can kind of bring us down. Friends, I'm here to tell you, you already know this. Life can be hard. It can be hard. It can be challenging. We can experience some things we never planned on experiencing. We never knew something like this would happen in our lives. And so the Easter community, we care for one another, we encourage one another, and that's the power of the community. The strength to get through it, and then to get above it, to rise above it all. Jesus taught us this. And so we're committed to it, just like the very first Easter community, they were committed to it. And so this Easter day, let's learn from their example. Let's remember these three things from the men and women who stood in front of that empty tomb, kind of in shock and awe. First, let's all hunger and thirst for a divine encounter with God, because these touches from God, that's what gives our community greater faith and hope and courage. Second, let's immerse ourselves in the words of Jesus so that we might know Him, because to know Him is to be changed by Him. And last, let's move forward and be about action in our lives in order to overcome all the fears and all the doubts that we have, because you have to keep showing up to grow up. Let's not just celebrate Easter today. Let's be the Easter community. Let's be that. Let's be a people who overcome our doubts and our fears together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You are present with us in this Easter Sunday. I thank You that as I spoke, You moved around to the hearts and the minds of people. And You spoke a good word, and You spoke an encouraging word. And You have come into this place that faith might be kindled. That faith might get larger and carry us through the trials and the difficulties of this life. And so, Jesus Christ, we celebrate You and Your resurrection that is our salvation and that is always the joy of Your church. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.